I used to complain when I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. I think many of us have heard that before. This analogy of how even though we might think we have it bad, there's somebody else who has it worse. It's supposed to show you how you should be grateful for what you do have. How we take for granted sometimes the smallest things. We don't really think about how truly blessed we are as people in general, not just Christians. The Christians are very blessed, but just people in general. I asked all of you this morning, how are you? A few of you just said, okay, fine. In all reality, we should all be great, wonderful, amazing. Let me ask you something. How many of you ate breakfast this morning? Almost everybody, right? Those of you that normally eat breakfast. Those of us that didn't eat breakfast, probably because choice, maybe ran out of time, not because it was lack of food. How many of us drove to services this morning? Everybody should raise your hand. Unless you live around the corner across the street, you probably drove here to services. You have the luxury of a car. How many of us are wearing nice clothes today? All of us. Why? Because we were blessed with clothing. How many of us woke up this morning? Everybody should raise your hand because you're here. These are things that we take for granted. These are things that we don't really think about and thank God for because it's something that we're used to having. It's something that we're used to just waking up and it's there. It's like a child or a baby. They don't know where this comes from. They just know that when they're hungry, believe me, I know this. When my child's hungry, he will cry until somebody feeds him because he knows somebody's going to feed him or he needs to be changed. But is he grateful for it? No, he just expects it. As a matter of fact, he demands it and we do it. Now, we understand, you know, he's a child. He's a baby. He doesn't know any better. But those of us that have been around for a while, are we truly thankful? Do we take the time to thank our Father for the things he's given us? From the most simple things to the biggest things. And everything in between. We all have because of our Lord. And sometimes a simple thank you goes a long way. So this morning, Bible class will be overcoming ingratitude. But it's shitty here in the United States. We talk about this a lot. This country is a very blessed nation. Would you agree? I would say yes. You know, we have maybe not the best government in the world, but we have, I would say, a decent government, a democracy. We're allowed to worship whenever, wherever we want. Nobody's going to come through those doors and oppress us because of our beliefs. This government has a tendency to help those that are in need. Medicare, Medicaid, welfare, Social Security, you know, things that aren't in place in many other countries. We are truly a very blessed nation. I've always thought this. It's pretty easy to get a job pretty much here if you want one. If you truly want a job is a job. Whether it's pushing a broom, flipping burgers, out in the oil field, wherever you are, whatever you do, you can find a job and be paid. So this is a land of opportunity, you could say. And sometimes I feel like because we have grown up with it, because we were born here, those of us that were born here, we maybe take it for granted. Some of the most hardworking people I've met before are not people that are born here, but immigrants. People that come from other places. Why? Because they know what it is like to not have. They know what it's like to have to worry where they're going to get their next meal. Or how are they going to pay their bills? Or where they're going to sleep? How are they going to feed their children? Maybe some of you have been through that before. So it's always interesting to see those people. You can tell those people who have been through that before. A lot of times by their work ethic, by the way they treat other people, and simply by how grateful they are for the smallest things. A good way to truly appreciate how blessed we are. Sometimes listen to a child pray. I like listening to children pray. It's very interesting because a child will give thanks for everything. I've heard children pray back here before, and one of the little boys back there one time just thank God for his dog, and for the grass, and for his toys, and for his mom, and his dad, and he went on and on and on and on. Why? Because children are very pure and innocent, but sometimes they understand, you know, how grateful they are. So, I just want us to reflect this morning on how grateful we truly are. When's the last time you thank God for anything? Now, maybe some of us pray, you know, when we have our meal, we just say a quick prayer, thank you, Lord, for the meal, and go on with it. But do we truly stop and think about it? Are we truly grateful for that meal that we might not have or somebody else doesn't have at all? Every day should be a day of thanksgiving for a Christian. Thanksgiving is right around the corner. And everybody makes a big deal of it. I know we usually go to either my parents or my in-laws or grandparents or somewhere. And everybody gathers together and today, what is Thanksgiving for? It's in the name. We're supposed to give thanks for what we have. But a lot of times, what does it become? It's more about the food or just seeing family. We kind of forget today what we should be thankful. Not just that day. It's a day, you know, that the world has made or we made here. It's a day of thanks. But truly and honestly, every day should be a day of thanksgiving for Christians. Every single day. From the moment you wake up, you should thank God for that breath that you have. You should thank God because there are people that this morning did not wake up. There will be people tomorrow morning that won't be here anymore. Maybe later this afternoon. Always be grateful. Always be thankful. Because you don't know when it's going to be gone. What's that old saying? You don't know what you have until it's gone. And it's true. Honestly, being grateful is not just something that we're told as a suggestion to do. We're taught in the Bible that we should be grateful. Should always be grateful and thankful for what you've been given. Turn over to Colossians chapter 2, verse 7. Colossians 2, 7. We'll start at 6. 6 and 7. If somebody has it, go ahead and read it. Colossians 2, 6 through 7. Thank you. Bounding in it with what? With thanksgiving. And just another chapter over, Colossians 3:15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts to which you were called in one body and be thankful. I have a few more verses, but first I want to say something. As we notice here, we're told, abounding in it, first of all, with what? With thanksgiving. And chapter 3:15, it says, and be thankful. You're supposed to be thankful. Who are you supposed to be thankful to? Who? I hear people whisper it. Speak up. Who are you supposed to be thankful to? Why? To the author of all things. Why else? That's where we get everything we have. Most of you here have children. Let me ask you something. I'm learning this as a parent. Are children grateful? Especially when they're younger. A lot of times, no, they're not. They're very selfish. They're gimme, 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 I want, I want, I want. And as they get older, they learn. Or you teach them you should be thankful. Always say thank you when somebody does something for you, gives you something. But sometimes even when they're older, are they not still ungrateful? Here, son, here, daughter, I got you this phone. Instead of saying thank you, what do they say? Oh, it's not the latest phone. It's not the one I wanted. Is that a little bit of, showing a little bit of ingratitude, wouldn't you say? How do you feel? You just want to take that phone back, fine. You don't get anything. I know, I remember this as a child. It's something I guess every kid goes through, especially when you're getting into those teenage years, maybe a little bit younger. At school, image is everything. Is it not? You know, a lot of times it is. You have to have the latest design of shoes, clothing, whatever you want to call it. And growing up, my parents weren't as well off as other children's parents. So they would get us shoes. Maybe they weren't the best brand out there, but they were new shoes. And a lot of times, me and my brothers were, well, it's not what I wanted. It's not what the other kids are wearing. There's people out there with no shoes. My parents were like, well, then you can go without shoes and see what it's like. So instead of us being thankful and grateful for what we had, for what our parents did and sacrifices they did, we would focus on what we didn't have. We should focus on what you have and not what you don't have. Who does that remind you of in the Bible? Which group of people, a very large group of people, were always complaining, always unhappy with what they had, with their situation, always murmuring against God? Who is that? Children of Israel. Where did the Israelites start off at when God pulled them out of there? In Egypt. They were slaves. Think about it. They were slaves. People who were worked probably to death, beaten to death, who were not treated probably as people. They were there for labor. They were slaves. And God, out of his love and his grace and promise he made, he pulled them out of that place. And he took them out. Not only did he pull them out, what did he do for them? You just name a few things he did for them while they were out there wandering. Fed them. He clothed them. He protected them. He wiped out an entire army for them. He basically did everything for them. And what did the Israelites do? Complained and murmured. We don't have enough food. Oh, he gave us food. We're tired of this food. We don't have enough meat. We don't have water. We're tired of wandering. We don't want to be here anymore. We want to go back to Egypt. Does that sound like a grateful people? No. As a matter of fact, did God not tell Moses, let me just get rid of these people and give you a new people? If it wasn't for Moses telling God, you know, have patience with them. You're a God of love. You know, just bear with them. God probably would have just done away with them. Why? Because these people were very ungrateful. I mean, I know with your children, you're not just going to do away with your children. Sometimes you might feel like, you know, this is some grateful little kid. I work hard every day, and instead of saying thank you, they just complain about it. Now, let's focus on ourselves nowadays. How do you think that makes God feel? A lot of times we pray to God, maybe not as often as we should. And when we do, a lot of times it's because we need something. Again, just like a child. When you're child goes off to college or leaves the house, how often do they call you? Maybe at first, you know, you have a good relationship with them quite often. But a lot of times the case is you don't hear from them until what? They need something. That's when they come back to mom, dad, you know, I need some money, I need gas, I need help, whatever the reason. But you as a parent, what do? You help them anyways because you love them. Because they are your children. And even though they may cause you strife, and pain and sorrow sometimes, you still love them. You still hope that they'll recognize those sacrifices you do. Me now as an adult, I am very grateful to my parents. I'm so thankful for everything they did for me. So I see now everything that they did. And I understand the sacrifices they went through that as a child you just don't get. And a lot of times things you don't understand until you have your own child. But we forget sometimes as Christians how blessed we truly are, how grateful we should really be, because we truly are a blessed people. This church here, I'm so thankful for this congregation. I've been to many congregations here in San Angelo, and growing up, I've been here in San Angelo many years, come and gone. And back again, gone, and come back again. And throughout the years, I've been through a lot of different congregations, good congregations. But I truly believe, this is my opinion, Ninth of May is one of the best congregations here in San Angelo. And I'm so grateful for that because, I mean, there's a lot of places out there that don't have a congregation. Christians looking for a place that can't find a place. The smallest things sometimes we take granted for. We should always be grateful. Turn over to Colossians 4:2. Just a few verses over. Colossians 4:2. Somebody has it, please read it. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant with what?
Thanksgiving.
With thanksgiving. Again, the past three verses we read, are these suggestions? What are they? They're commands. We're being commanded to be thankful. You have to understand, a Christian should be thankful because it is the will of God. And it's in the Bible, it says it is the will of God. And if it's the will of God, what's our job? To obey it. To follow it. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Will you read that one more time, Mike? Thank you. In everything, give thanks. Why? For this is the will of God. So as you can see, being thankful and grateful is not an option of whether you want to do it or not. You're commanded to do it. Which, in all honesty, is it that hard to just say thank you? Is it that hard to be grateful? Because saying thank you and being grateful, there are two different things. It's easy to just say thank you. Grateful is an attitude. How you perceive things that are given to you. Because they are given to you. Yes, you may work hard. You may have a job that provides you with whatever it is you have. But who gave you that job? You can say, my merits did. I went to school. I worked hard. But it goes even further back than that. It's very true. It's very good points. So, remember, very good point. You're jumping ahead, but we'll get there. But she's right. It says, in everything, give thanks. In the good times and in the bad times. Because, as Sister Hall had mentioned, you know, we take for granted. You know, we don't understand, especially as children, we don't understand how blessed you truly are. And if you think about it, whenever we act that way towards God, whenever we're not thankful or grateful for what He's given us, we're acting just like your children do. When they're small, they don't understand. The only difference is that you as an adult should understand, which I think makes it even worse. The child is learning. You know, they're learning that they should be grateful. Those of us that are adults have been here, you know, for a while now, we should already know that. We should already understand that. Because, you know, she's right. God may decide to punish you or discipline you or maybe just take away that thing that you aren't thankful for and see, you know, can you do without it? It's very true. It's very true. You know, it's a very humbling experience. How many of you have ever been to visit a congregation in Mexico? A few of us. I know Dennis goes quite often. Once a year, about. Used to. Haven't been in a while. But you've seen how the brethren live out there, right? You know, do they live in nice homes like you see around here sometimes? Maybe some. Most of them don't. A lot of their homes consist of one bedroom, not even bedroom, one room. That's your entire home. Kitchen, bedroom, everything in one room. It's either concrete, made out of concrete blocks, if they have, you know, the funds for that. A lot of times I've seen made out of pallets. You know, those wooden pallets that people put stuff on, stuff like that. They build homes out of that, filled with cardboard, and that's your house. It's a very humbling experience. We used to, when I lived in Del Rio, which is border with Mexico, we would worship in Mexico. And the brethren there are some of the most faithful, most happy people. But we would visit their homes, and very humble homes. But these people are some of the most grateful, faithful Christians you've ever met. And one thing that stuck with me for many, many years, and probably will forever for the rest of my life, was a sister. Her name was Sister Maria. Lived in one of these homes, very humble. But she, maybe in her 70s, and She lived about 3 miles from the congregation. And 3 miles is far in flat terrain. Well, out there, the streets aren't flat. You know, a lot of times it's hills and you got to cut through here, cut through there. And it's pretty rough. Sister Maria was always one of the first people to show up to services. Before services even started, she was up there about 15 minutes. And she would always get a ride home. She would always walk to services. And what surprised me was that congregation eventually got a van to pick up members of the church that are far away. But she would still walk every day. She said, she would say, I'm not sure if, you know, you're going to get here in time or not, and I don't want to be late for church. And every Sunday, she would walk 3 miles. You know, the stories you hear, I walk 3 miles in the snow, uphill, both ways. This sister lived that every Sunday. One of the most faithful Christians. She passed away already. But it always stuck with me because there were other members who had cars, you know, would get there late, wouldn't show up, or showed up right on time. You know, some of us are fault of that. But this sister, who had nothing, always walked there. Always made sure she was there on time and early. And it makes you think, you know, how grateful you should be for things you have. And sometimes whenever we do have those advantages, we don't even use them. That's a very good example right there. Think about how sometimes, you know, the things that we have, a lot of people in this world we're never going to have. As a matter of fact, most of the population, or a big percent of the population of the world live in poverty, live without the most basic necessities. We here have a very nice building, wouldn't you say? I mean, we have seats that are comfortable. We have air conditioning. And when it's cold, we have a heater. The air conditioning here is so good that people wear blankets. You know, we have a loving congregation. We really are blessed. And sometimes we take that for granted. A simple thank you really does go a long way. Somebody just telling you thank you or recognizing the effort that you put into something for them, how does that make you feel? It usually makes you feel pretty good. A lot of times we do things for people, not expecting them to, you know, say, I owe you a favor or anything. We do it just because of the goodness of our hearts. But when that person tells you thank you, doesn't that make you feel a little bit good? Doesn't that make you feel like you've done something good and worthwhile and that they've recognized that? Doesn't it also make you want to do it again? I feel it's the same way with God. You know, if you're thankful to Him, He's probably more willing and more likely to do it again for you. A thank you goes a long way. Chad's not in here. Chad Chertle. He, as many of you know, he is my boss at work. We work at the same company and he's my boss. And he is very good about thanking us, you know, for jobs that we've done that we're supposed to do anyways. But he'll say, you know, thank you for your hard work. Thanks for doing that for me, or thanks for doing this or that. Well, a lot of bosses, they just go do that. And they expect you to do it. Well, you should. It's your job. But Chad takes time to thank his employees, which honestly goes a long way. Sometimes the jobs that we do are hard and we don't want to do it and it's just out in the heat and stuff like that. But just to have your boss recognize and say thank you for what you've done, it really does go a long way. It makes you want to, you know, keep working, doing, you know, helping out the boss. In the same way, employees, to be thankful for the jobs that you have. Maybe it's not the most luxurious job, maybe it's not what you were expecting to have, but it is a job. And sometimes thanking the boss for a job can also go a long way. Now, sure, go ahead. And it seems it's usually the older generation who's experienced this. Nowadays, you see the younger generation, and this is where it falls to the parents to teach your children to be grateful and thankful for what they have. Because the generation now, generation growing up now, they have so many advantages that, you know, even I didn't have when I was growing up, which, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, the world changes constantly. It seems to be getting better, sort of, I would say. take it how you want. At least as far as technology goes, it gets more advanced, it gets better, makes life easier. We have more opportunities than we did maybe back in the 30s. But because things are so much easier now, and because children grow up with that, they expect it. They don't understand that it takes hard work to, you know, have what you have. They don't understand that mom and dad have to go out and work, or dad goes to work and mom stays home and cleans the house, which is, it in itself is a hard job, being a mom. That's where it falls to us as parents, to teach our children to always be thankful and grateful for what you have. Because, you know, one day you might not have it. Very good point. That was actually one of the next points I was getting to. Being thankful not just for our physical things, but also our spiritual blessings. Like I mentioned before, Christians are very blessed people, but humanity in general, we are very blessed. What is the greatest gift God gave to humanity? His Son. Why? Because He loved us, and what was it for? Salvation. That is the greatest gift God can give anyone. Salvation. A place with Him in heaven after this life. That in itself is probably the greatest blessing we'll ever get. Aside from your physical blessings, your family, anything you have, compared to what is waiting for us after this life, if we are faithful Christians. God gave His only child. As many of you know, maybe all of you know, we recently had a child, a little boy, Benjamin. He's back there right now. And I love that boy with all my heart. He keeps me up at night, doesn't let me sleep. But there's nothing I want to do for that little boy. Now imagine that love that, you know, all of you might have for your children, and having to give up your child to save the life of somebody else, a total stranger, or maybe somebody who's not even going to be thankful for that sacrifice. How many of us would do it? Nobody. Honestly, probably nobody would. And God did that for everybody. Just so we could have a chance to one day be in heaven with Him. To one day leave this place and go to someplace better. How can you not be thankful and grateful for what He's done for us? And a lot of times, that sacrifice, we take it for granted. We walk all over it. We spit on it. We throw it away. Whatever you want to call it. We don't treat it with the respect and reverence it should be taken as. We should always be thankful, not just like for our physical things, but especially for our spiritual blessings that we have. God's Son. Go ahead. That's right. Now, I had mentioned earlier that, as Sister Anna said earlier, we should be thankful in everything, including our troubles. You know, because sometimes going through some troubles, it can make you a stronger person. What's that saying? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And there's some truth behind that. You know, pain can make you a stronger person, physical, emotional, any type of pain. When you overcome it, it does make you a better person. It can make you a better person. Don't focus on the negative parts of your life. Count your blessings, not your bruises. Because we really are very blessed. Be thankful for what you have, not what you don't have. You know, if we focus on the bad all the time, we forget all the good that we have. People tend to focus and remember the bad things. Is it not true? Something bad happens to you, you're more likely to remember that than something good happened to you in that same day. If you go to a restaurant and have bad service, do you remember that? Absolutely. You'll go tell your friends, you'll complain to them, or you're going to go eat at that restaurant, don't eat at that restaurant, they have bad service. Same restaurant, good service, or excellent service, how many of us are like, oh, you're going to that restaurant? That's a great restaurant with great services. We hardly ever say that. We remember the bad things. When you're driving and somebody cuts you off for a bad driver, do you remember that? Yes, you tell them, People, bad drivers in San Angelo. You know, we have bad weather. You remember that? How many of us remember those beautiful days we've had, maybe? What is, like I said, people tend to focus on the bad things and remember them for a long time. What's something that happened recently? Well, maybe not recently, several years, but everybody remembers in this country, that happened to this country. September 11th. I didn't even have to say, just what happened in this country. 9/11. Something terrible that happened that we burned into our minds probably for as long as we live. At least this generation, maybe the next. Maybe it'll eventually fade out. It'll be just something in the history. But we tend to remember the terrible things. We shouldn't focus on the bad things. We should focus on the good things. That's very true. It's all about attitude. What is your attitude? And do you have a good attitude about things you have been given to you or done for you? Or do you want to say something, brother?
I was going to say, look at Romans chapter 1, verse 20.
That's a very good point right there. I heard this a long time ago, talking about focusing on your blessings, not on what you don't have. I heard this analogy from a brother a long time ago about an old lady who was nearly bald, except she had three hairs. She was very, very proud of her three hairs. And every morning she'd get up and comb them as best she could. And one morning she wakes up, she says, you know what? I think I'll braid my hair today. So she braids her three little hairs. Next morning she wakes up and one of her hairs is falling out. Instead of focusing on the bad, she said, you know what? I think I'll wear my hair in pigtails today. So next morning she wakes up and she only has one hair left. And she says, you know what, today I'm going to wear my hair in a ponytail. And the next morning she wakes up and all her hairs are gone. And she says, you know, I'm so thankful that I don't have to mess with my hair anymore. It just talks about how grateful, how you should focus on the good. You should focus on what you have, not what you don't have. And it all starts with your attitude. Overcoming ingratitude starts with having a good attitude about it. Being thankful for everything we've had, everything we've been given, everything we will have, our life experiences, the good, the bad, everything in between. Be thankful for it. As a matter, the fact that we've made it this far in our lives, whether you're 3 weeks old as my son is, or in your 80s, maybe 90s, thank God for every day that He's given you. Be grateful. Be thankful. I'll leave you with one last thing. This is something that is actually, I've read many times. It's over the sink in my in-laws. It's a little plaque that they have there. It's a poem. It says, thank God for dirty dishes. Thank God for dirty dishes. They have a tale to tell. While others may go hungry, we are eating very well. With home health and happiness, I should not want fuss. By the stack of the evidence, God has been very good to us. And that's true. God is very good to us always and every day. Be thankful. Let us be thankful. The first thing you should do every time you wake up, thank God that you woke up. So, how many of us are thankful for the things we've done, or for the things that have been done for us? As Christians, and people in general, has God not done a lot for you? Yes, He has. Will He continue to do a lot for you? Yes, He will. So show a little bit of gratitude. Like I said, a thank you goes a very, very long way. And there's a bell.